It's time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. And here are your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Leslie Williard is in our studio this morning with us. She's one of our counselors at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and it's good to have her here. Good morning, Ken.
Oh, it's great to be here. After being in Jeff City over the weekend, seeing many friends and family up there, a lot of friends that we hadn't seen in over 20 years. I just wanted to say it was great to see everyone. We had an excellent homecoming reunion up there, and we had people from all over the country that flew in and drove into Jefferson City. It was just absolutely incredible.
It was incredible. Had people from literally all over the country.
Literally, from one coast to the other.
Yeah. If you're joining us this morning and you'd like someone to listen to this program, you can call them and tell them that we're on the air right now. If they are outside of our listening area, then they can go to our website at springfieldmfi.com, springfieldmfi.com, and click on the radio icon, the microphone icon, and they can listen to us live.
Via the internet.
Yeah.
Amazing tool.
And if you'd like to call us here at the station this morning as we talk, the number is 862-9977. Or the 800 number is 375-0056, or on the cell phone at star 56.
Last few weeks, we've talked about different scenarios for counseling. How do I know if I, as an individual, need counseling? How do I know if my child needs counseling? And the week before last, we talked about how do I know if we, as a couple, need counseling? We talked about a lot of these areas. Will counseling have an effect? Do I know when it's time to call in some help and really get down to making a difference? There's so many times in our life where life happens and we can get through it. I mean, that's just a natural progression of life. And families, as we grow, as our children grow, we have growth pains. There's times in our life, though, when it becomes just a burden to us. It's stressing us out. We have no idea. We reach an impasse. And we're trying to figure out, how do we get past this? And so many times at that moment, the tension in the family elevates to a level where we're literally taking it out on each other, whether it's verbal abuse or whether it's complete silence, giving someone the silent treatment. There are so many things that happen in our lives that we get to that point where we just cannot get through it. And it's amazing how many times we have friends, we have family that will spend days, weeks, months, even years at that point in their life, struggling day by day to make it through to the next day. When we're to that point, it's time to call in some help and be able to work through some of those things.
You know, the question is, where do you go? Who do you call? It's kind of like Ghostbusters. Who do you call? And it really is important to know who to call, to have some kind of criteria in mind, some characteristics that you're looking for. And the person that you're seeking help from, you know, I wouldn't take my car to a transmission shop if I wanted the engine repaired. And just had that experience a couple weeks ago. Took my truck to a mechanic, and he says, I'm not going to touch this. This is the transmission. And so he recognized the limitations, and he referred me to a very good transmission specialist. And that's what we need in our life. We need to know who to go to, who to call, and who to work with to facilitate the changes in our life that we really do need and want. You know, there are two guys that were both broke and destitute, and they were sitting on a park bench, and one said, I'm a man who never took advice from anybody. The other man said, well, buddy, I'm a man who followed everybody's advice. If we're not selective about choosing our counselors, it can lead to our ruin. And that's how serious this is. It's not a matter of, well, one can be better than the other. What we're talking about is, who do you go to help you with the types of issues that you have in your life?
Yes, and hopefully this will help you make that decision, because if you can't decide and you're thinking, how do I know who to go to, and that keeps you from coming in, you may end up with all kinds of physical problems that are due to that long-term stress. You may not even realize it.
And it's very insidious. It's very quiet. And it can be working destruction in our life if we're not really aware of what's going on. And that's the reason why it's so important to ask ourselves some questions before we call anybody, before we really try to work with anybody, to know some questions to ask so we know who to ask.
So how do you figure out who to go see?
Yeah. How do we know that?
in my own personal opinion, if I'm needing help of some sort, generally I'm going to ask friends and family and see if they know someone. If I'm looking for a dentist, if I'm looking for a mechanic, if I'm looking for a realtor, which in this case I am one, so if you need the house sold, let me know. I know, it's a shameless plug. But as we're looking for people, if we have a need of service, we ask those around us that we do trust. We also go through, sometimes we take multiple guests in the phone book, not always necessarily the best way. We check on the internet. A lot of people now are searching the internet. They're looking for answers on the internet. And we have, especially with our site, springfieldmfi.com, people are checking it out every day, and the growth is happening every day at springfieldmfi.com. Yes. People are looking for answers. They're able to find answers and be able to judge and see how they would fit with us or whether we would be a good fit. So there are many ways we're looking for answers. All of these ways, again, we're looking for counselors. Now, there are different kinds of people out there that you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know who to go to?
Let me emphasize first, before we get down to some very specific characteristics, many people believe, they feel, that if they don't know the answer, then there's no hope. Let me encourage you this morning by realizing that it's not important to know all the answers or to know the answer that you're looking for immediately. What's more important in our life throughout our lifetime, if we don't know the answer, what's important is to know we have the right to ask the right questions. We can ask the right questions. And that's what we're talking about early on in the program this morning.
Oh, absolutely.
Every human being, let me give you some things to think about for all of us here this morning, that all human beings are entitled to truth, dignity, respect, and courtesy. And if you're going to be free in your life, if you're going to live powerfully, abundantly in your life, if you're going to have the life that you've always wanted, then it requires that you stand up for the principles that your life is built upon. By not standing up for yourself, you're encouraging the other person to continue treating you the same way by reinforcing their behavior. And when you stand up for yourself, you'll appreciate others who stand up for themselves. You have the right to ask questions. It is unavoidable also and undesirable to live your life without offending somebody. And by appropriately expressing yourself, you will not allow thoughts and feelings to build up inside, which could result in an inappropriate and harmful response later. And the reason I'm stating this is because some people feel guilty if they ask questions.
Or they're afraid to ask questions because people might think that was a silly question or, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you already know that?
Absolutely. Compounding the shame that they feel or the fear that they feel.
Yes.
In really needing to search for help.
At the point where someone needs to ask for help is the point where you go, this is happening over and over. You know there's a problem and you have no real clear solution to be able to fix it or have the knowledge to be able to get through the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing if we ask someone early on who knows, like WK or like Leslie here in studio, if we have those types of things and we ask early on, it's amazing how we can get through it. We had a couple come in a while back that had been arguing and just at the point of nearly divorced for 10 years. 10 years of living just ready to walk out the door. They were living in each other's throats. And yet, with just a little bit of help, a little bit of being able to say, why don't we look at it from this point, being able to listen to each other, have a third party even be able to help pull things out and get to the real issues there, they could not believe they nearly threw this away. If you know you're at that point and life is just not going the way you want it, you're at an impasse, then ask for help. That's all we have to do, and we can ask. We can call the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Give us a call at 882-6767. 882-6767. We have those that are waiting. Don't wait another week, another 2 weeks to be able to get in. If you need to come in today, we can get you in today. We want to help. That's why we're here. As we discuss further on in this hour, we're going to be talking about how do you know who to talk to? Because who to talk to and who to ask for counsel is just as important as the issue itself. You can have the best qualifications in the world, but like the mechanic we took the truck down to, he goes, I'm an engine mechanic. I'm not a transmission specialist. That's not what I do. So who do we talk to? We know when we need to talk because we're at the impasse. And ignoring that impasse doesn't work. We have Don in Springfield. Don?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Don. How are you doing?
Listen, you're talking about who to go to counselors. Now, this brings back memories like the Holy Spirit is working this morning. Dr. Carol Stanley said, never accept ungodly counsel. People by the millions go to counselors every day in America and around the world. if they get ungodly counsel, they never mention Jesus Christ nor the Bible. And Dr. Stanley said, get out of there. You don't want that kind of ungodly advice. And I just want to make those comments.
Don, thank you very much.
You know, what are the basic considerations in choosing someone as a counselor that you want to work with? Is do they have the same value system that you have? One of the great emphases in the past 2 decades in counseling has been on value-free counseling. Well, my friend, let me tell you, there is no such thing as value-free counseling. Every counselor comes into a counseling situation with his or her set of values. And if those values are the same values that you hold, then you probably can do some good work together. If those values are in opposition to your values, probably you're not going to accomplish much at all, if anything. So one of the basic considerations, if you are live within a Christian value system, is your counselor a Christian? Do they hold within a Christian value system? That's so important. It's so important because some of the people I've worked with through the years have come to me after having gone somewhere else and said, you know, we came from marriage counseling and what they told us after a couple of sessions was get a divorce. Go live your own lives and be a lot happier. Well, happiness wasn't what the goal was of the couple. The goal of the couple was the marriage, salvaging the marriage, having a better marriage. And so we need to be very careful that the people we're working with understands our values or even has the same value system. We have Gloria here in Springfield. Good morning, Gloria.
Well, hello.
Yes.
I enjoy listening to what you say, but see, I've lived that and I know it, and I know what you say is true. So I've not done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband and I, we were very poor, and we ended up successful. And I had a handicapped child. And we were successful. But, you know, you got to put everything into life and what you want. And you got to know how to be poor before you can be rich. So give me some feedback.
Well, thank you, Gloria. That's a great thought.
That is an excellent suggestion. I mean, when you're looking for a counselor, too, a lot of times you want a counselor that's been there. I mean, how do they know what it's like to go through a divorce? How do they know what it's like to raise a handicapped child? So that, to me, I would like to know a counselor maybe that has had some experience of their own, some genuine experience, not just something they learned from a book.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead, Gloria.
Well, see, I never needed a counselor. My son will be 49 his next birthday. I just came from the gut, and I was raised, well, I was in my teens, my 50s, and everything I did was from my gut.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a hard life, but my dad was a good dad. He was not a loving dad. He can take you on his knee, kiss you in the snack, but he taught you that things were hard. And if you want a life, or you want a roof over your head, or food in your stomach, you have to work for it. Well, unfortunately, now they talk about Medicare, Medicaid, and I think it weakens our society. And I'd like to start over from where my dad was. He was tough.
And that's part of what we've talked about here, Gloria, is that...
I know, I listened to your program.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you're saying everything right. But unfortunately, what I want to ask you is why do you have to teach them? Why isn't nobody teaching them in their life? You're teaching them what they should have known back when they were young.
But if they're not taught that in the schools, yeah, you know the answer. If they're not taught that in schools, they're not taught that by their parents.
They should be taught in schools. They should be taught it at home, but there's not the families. They're not the families that want to go through hardship. When my husband and I were young, he worked one shift, I worked another shift to make money for our kids. They never had a babysitter. The really true gut of everything, and I raised great kids, but their kids have had it better. And the better kids have it, the bigger losers they're going to be.
One of the things
because
that's
they
missing,
don't know how to work for it.
One of the things that's missing in our society is the ability to be tested for who we are, the ability to be challenged in life, and the ability to grow through that challenge. And we need, in some form, for our children and our grandchildren to be able to be tested, to test their qualities, to test their principles, to test what they're learning, to see if what they're learning and the principles that they are building their life upon, if those are real, if those are valuable, if those hold. And we need to be able to be challenged. It's not wrong to be challenged in life. It's not wrong to be poor. It's not wrong to have hardship in life. In fact, those things, they purify us. They have a purifying effect on us that helps us become stronger. Now, they'll say whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
But it's also a matter of perspective. In not having, you know that when you do have it, you learn to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And that's what Gloria has talked about. You know, her father handed down a very hard work ethic that you earn what you have. If you have it, you've earned it, and you work hard to get it. If someone is given that, and we do this through generations, we want the generation after us to be better than the one than what we had. We want our kids to have nicer things. We want our kids to have a better education. We want our kids to be able to get more out of life than we had. That's the natural yearning of any parent. So they may not necessarily appreciate entirely or fully what we have been able to bring to them and give them on a head start in life.
Many times in our life, it's not so much that we don't want to do these things. We just don't know the right questions to ask. Uh-huh. We don't know what we don't know. And that's what makes us really poor in life, not poor in material possessions, but just poor in life, is we many times don't know the right questions to ask. Let me read something to you. It came across. It says, talks about the simple things. This person said, I would like to accept the responsibilities of an 8-year-old again. I want to go to McDonald's and think it's a 4-star restaurant. I want to sell sticks across a fresh mud puddle and make a sidewalk with rocks. I want to think M&Ms are better than money because you can eat them. I want to lie under a big oak tree and run a lemonade stand with my friends on a hot summer's day. I want to return to a time when life was simple, when all you knew were colors, multiplication tables, and nursery rhymes. But that didn't bother you because you didn't know what you didn't know and you didn't care. All you knew was to be happy because you were blissfully unaware of all the things that should make you worried or upset. I want to think the world is fair, that everyone is honest and good. I want to believe that anything is possible. I want to be oblivious to the complexity of life and be overly excited by the little things. I want to live simple again. A lot of people are like that. They just want a simple life. And it's hard to face life. There are many hard struggles in life. Most of the times, we don't know what we don't know. And the old saying is, if I don't know that I don't know, I think I know. You know how that goes?
It's the definition of a high school senior.
In many ways, yeah. But if we don't know, we don't know. We think we know. But when challenges come, when those hard times come, and the problems come up, and the stresses come in, and the pressures build, what are the right questions to ask? What is it that we're to look for, Leslie, in someone that we want as a counselor?
Well, personally, and I think a lot of people would agree, we want somebody that's caring. Is this the person that's going to be concerned for you? We also want somebody who knows how to listen. Listen carefully. As it says in the Bible, quick to listen, slow to speak.
And to really hear. To
yes.
Really hear what I'm saying.
Yes, understand. Really? Go beyond just the words.
To really understand.
Yes. We also want somebody that's accepting. I think something that may hold a lot of people back is feeling like if they come in and tell about their secrets from whatever's going on, that they might be judged by their counselor. A counselor should not be judgmental. They should accept you just as you are. You also want somebody that does understand, as we mentioned. They need to know clearly or fully what's going on. They need to listen beyond the words. Okay. They need to be encouraging. Do they give you courage, mm-hmm. hope, confidence, support? Do they build you up? Humility. That seems kind of a strange thing, but yes, a counselor that has humility. Do they behave as an equal, not as a superior?
And that goes back to the principle that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yes, very well put.
And that is certainly true in the life of a counselor.
How about apologetic? What if your counselor makes a mistake? Would you want them to be able to apologize to you and admit the mistake? I would. Do they give you respect? Do they honor your uniqueness? Do they respect your need to make the decisions, not go by their decisions? Do they act with kindness, gentleness, and patience? Are they considerate and act with empathy? Empathy is kind of sensing another person's problem as if it were their own, but you're not taking on the problem themselves. You don't want a counselor that gets right down in the muck with you. You need them to be able to pull you out. Are they gracious, pleasant, and do they act with compassion? Then we go to the other side. This is something maybe it's a little frightening for some people, but admonishment. Did they warn, caution, or even confront you?
That's a great point.
There's some good things to think about, especially as we're going into the bottom half of the break. There's a lot of things that people don't necessarily think about.
Mm-hmm. And very important things. All these things, Leslie, that you just said are extremely important for someone considering working with somebody that's going to impact not only their life, but probably their marriage, their children's lives, and their grandchildren's lives.
And we'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
And we're back.
This morning we're talking about how do we choose someone to seek counsel from? What qualifications are we looking for? What qualities are we looking for? How do we know that this is a person that we can talk to and make an improvement in our lives? We already know that there are times we get that's a complete impasse, and we can either tough it out, try to pull ourselves up through our bootstraps, and basically live in grief for the next days, weeks, months, even years. Or we might even be able to get that edge, get that assistance to go, okay, I can see how this will work. That professional expertise from an outside source that says, you know, I'm going to make it easier. Let's sit down and talk. Let's go through these steps and see what happens.
Yeah. You know, whether you're an individual or you are a person that's in a marriage that's having troubles and stresses, a lot of pressure, now you come to an impasse in trying to figure out how to make this better or should we end this. When there are a lot of questions going on, and perhaps you're receiving pressure from extended family saying, you know, you need to divorce that no good bum. He was never any good for you anyway, or she was never right for you anyway. And in your heart of hearts, you know you love that person and you don't want a divorce. How do you work it out? What goes on? And from where you are in life, perhaps I've had people call for counseling who've been in marriages as few as 2 months, and some have been in marriage for 50-some-odd years who've called for counseling. Now, some of the old myths of therapy, is that's one of them, is I'm too old for therapy. And we covered these throughout several of the programs. Or the other one is that it's too expensive. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're married and you're thinking about saving your marriage or getting a divorce, just lawyer's fees alone are more expensive than the therapy. Just a general basis. Or you have the belief that only crazy people need therapy. Well, we feel crazy. Most people who go to therapy are not crazy. They just need help. They need the right person working with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, and getting back to the attorneys, we can go through a divorce. We can hire attorneys and get into a bitter battle from name-calling to just staging against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And after we've come through that bloody battle, we're no better off than we were before we went into it. And we take all of that garbage, all of that baggage, and now all of the pain of going to war in a divorce into our next marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about taking baggage with it.
Yeah.
It's a no-win situation.
It's a no-win situation. And I want you to really consider this. You're listening this morning, and you're hurting, and you don't know who to turn to. We're giving you some information this morning for you to consider, some questions to ask yourself, and some questions to ask a person that you would call a counselor, qualified counselor to help you. You know, another myth, and it's kind of a touchy one, but it's the sense that my faith will see me through this. There are some issues of life that certainly faith is involved in all aspects of our life. I'm not denying that and or invalidating that. But there's some things in our life that we need more practical answers. It's like the little boy that was scared during this thunderstorm and called for his parents, and his mom came in and she hugged him and kissed him and told him it was all right, and it was just thundering loudly outside, and she tried to calm him down and kind of got him calm, and she went back out and thundered real loud again, and he called out again, and she came in and she calmed him down and kissed him and hugged him, and she said, son, it's going to be okay. You know, God loves you. God's going to take care of you through this. You know that, don't you? And he said, yes, Mom, I know that, but I just need somebody with skin on right now. And we need that in our life. We need the human touch. We need the human help to help us walk through. And the principles are from truth. There is an objective truth. There are standards that we go by in life that are real and true and proven. But we need help to embrace those and to apply those in our life.
But again, that goes back to what I was saying. Even if we have a faith, we have that faith because we were either taught it or we've learned it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it just out of blind pulling it from the air. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Same thing with our preacher. If we go to our preacher and we're looking to study a part of the Bible, we can sit down and have a Bible study and be more in depth because that's where he was trained.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, you end up getting things that were from the period of the time. What was going on? What the context in which that particular passage or scripture was written? And we can get more in-depth knowledge. But when it comes to families and family systems, a lot of times even our preacher doesn't have the ability to be able to help beyond, well, you know, getting a divorce is wrong, but how do we work through this part of our marriage? Yeah. How do we work through our parenting? How do we raise our children, especially those with special needs that we just don't have an understanding? And ministers aren't taught that. That's not a part of their training. And many good ministers are actually being burned out and actually quitting because they cannot minister to people in the way they have the heart for it, but they may not necessarily have the training.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to study Bible, if you want to study the Book of Revelation, if you want to study Luke and Acts together, by all means, they can do that. But a real in-depth comes from knowledge. And that, again, seeking the person that has the knowledge we need. Again, just like faith, we have to have that knowledge to have the faith. To be able to have a family that operates and works properly, we need to have a knowledge of how family systems work.
Yeah. And I know we have ministers who listen to our program because they've told us that they are listening. And we want you to know that we are very supportive of ministers who listen to us and the work that you're doing. And
we understand.
Absolutely understand it. But if you are beyond what you're trained to do, no matter how much time you spend with a person, if you're beyond already what you're trained to do, then you're not helping that person or that couple or that family.
Or yourself.
Or yourself, absolutely. And as Ken said a moment ago, a lot of preachers are being burned out because they're trying to go beyond what their training is. And spending a lot of time because they love people, but they just don't know what to do. In fact, I was in ministry for 16 years before I went back and did my graduate work in marriage and family therapy because I did so much counseling.
As a minister.
And that's who people just naturally turn to. But I found out very quickly I was way beyond what I needed to be trained for and went back for the training. And we're here to help you ministers. We're here to help your members. And we're glad to talk with you and help you understand how we can really help you minister to your members as we counsel within a Christian value system.
And to give us a call, feel free to call us at the office. Ask for WK, ask for Leslie, Ty, or Marty. Phone number is 882-6767. 882-6767. We'd be more than happy to discuss how we can work together to be able to help take care of some of those members that have needs beyond what you are capable of. Also, it allows the ministers to be able to spend the time in what they need to do, which is in the Word, which is in ministering to the flock as a whole. So if you'd like to give us a call there at the office, and we'd love to sit down and talk with you about what we can help with.
You know, some practical suggestions, some practical questions when you consider choosing a counselor. One right off the bat is, what is your training? What's your experience? What areas of specialization are you trained in? Or are there particular techniques that you use? Things to ask a counselor that you call up or that you go see. Will you discuss my treatment plan with me? What happens if we disagree about my goals? And that's what, Leslie, you were talking about a moment ago.
Yes. I mean, it should be the person, the client's goals, not the therapist's goals. There's a big difference.
Absolutely. Are you licensed or registered by the state? There's a lot of people out here who in the past have not had any kind of training or certification or licensure or registration, who put themselves out, who hang up a shingle, call themselves therapist or counselor. Well, the state has stepped in and is really doing a great job at helping to license, making sure professionals who put ourselves out as qualified to counsel, that we go through a lot of training through the licensing process.
And we discussed that last week, the fact that many of the licensed professional counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists have 8, 9, 10, 12 years of education, formal, continuing education to be able to help people, understanding family systems, understanding how the mind works, understanding all of these aspects, and that they invest a lot of time and money to be able to help people in that specialty.
Yes.
If you want a dentist, don't come see these people.
Oh, no. You don't want to see us.
But if you want the life you've always wanted, if you want to get the most out of life, give them a call.
Yes. Leslie, can you tell the audience, tell the people listening this morning, the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist and a counselor?
Basically, a psychiatrist has the training as a medical doctor, and a psychiatrist is the one who will prescribe medications. A psychologist is basically someone who is trained in therapy. Now, they might go a little bit beyond what a counselor does in some cases.
Now, some psychologists also devote themselves to research.
Yes, definitely.
Instead of counseling.
Which is more focused on people's skills, maybe, and mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. And psychologists also give batteries of assessments and interpret and diagnosis from assessments, that type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but counselors are licensed by the state
mm-hmm.
and have to go through a rigorous process to become licensed to be able to help people.
Yeah, and they might focus more on families versus where the psychologist tends to work with individuals.
Yeah. That's the reason why if you're an individual seeking counseling or if you are a couple seeking counseling, relationship counseling, or family, perhaps mom, dad, and the kids, they all need to be there. And many times that is the case. Then you need someone who's trained to understand the dynamics of a family.
Yes.
The family system.
Yes.
The patterns of communication within the family, the patterns of behaviors within the family, which is far different. It's just a totally different universe than individual, clinical, psychometric testing type of counseling.
And that's important. We discussed this at Springfield MFI. When you call in, you talk to Stephanie, and she takes down name and number, basically gets some basic information to see how we can help. Stephanie will take that information and come to WK and Leslie, Ty and Marty, and we will discuss, okay, based on what this family is needing, who's the best counselor to get them to? Who's the one that's going to be able to help them the quickest, the most effective, based off the needs that they've described? And we have these discussions at the Institute because we want to make sure we get you with someone that is going to help.
Yes. And we don't want you with anyone that's not going to help. And especially if somebody has had special training or a preference to working with these types of issues, whether individual, depression, anxiety, grief, those types of issues, or whether it's relational, whether it's first-time marriage, fifth-time marriage, blended family issues, step-parenting, all types of issues can really come up. And we want the fit to occur between the person coming in and the counselor because we know that's so important.
When you're out there and you're looking for help, be careful who you choose. If you've been talking with someone who is a counselor and they have done great things for you, if they've been able to open your eyes and really make a difference, stick with them, okay? If you have friends that are hurting, refer them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs to have the right of happiness, that pursuit of happiness, talked all the way back to the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
It's the pursuit of happiness. And when we see our friends hurting, we want to be able to help. This is one way we can help is by referring them on. If things are not going right in your life, you've talked to some people and it's not working out, you're not getting the direction you need, you're not getting the results you need, give us a call at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We would like to help. That's why we're here. That's why we talk every week, being able to give people information that will be a real value to their life and make a real difference in their life. And you can call us at 882-6767. 882-6767. If you want, look us up on the web. Go to springfieldmfi.com. That's springfieldmfi for Marriage and Family Institute.com. Look around. If you want to play this show over again, this show will be posted later on tonight, and be able to extract part of the information we have, go back and listen to it. Use that as a tool. And then give us a call.
Yes, our website is there to be a resource for you. When we're struggling, when we need help, we're looking for resources. And our website is definitely designed to be a resource for people to go to help them, first of all, identify really what's going on, whether it's individual or couple or family, and also how to ask the questions, what questions even to ask about a potential counselor.
Dan was talking before we came in that the Family Violence Center was here this morning mm-hmm. and how many people that they help. 95% of who they help are women that come in, about 5% are men. But they do a good work. They are able to help pick people up where they're at in their life and make a change from the get-go.
And give them hope.
And give them hope. we work together with all of these different places around town because we want to make sure that people have the life they've always wanted, because it is our choice.
Yeah, I want you to understand also, as we're talking about this, is that counseling or therapy is not a magic bullet. There's not a magic pill. It's reasonable to expect, though, that as you work with a counselor, that you see progress. As the process continues on, that you see progress in that process.
Mm-hmm.
That you see healing beginning to occur. That as you're doing the work, that you and the counselor are working together, that you see changes beginning to happen. And it doesn't take forever. It doesn't take forever. Many people are afraid that if you go into counseling, you're going to be there twice a week for 6 years. That's not the case. Sometimes people are seen twice a week for the first week or so. Okay, but it's important that you recognize that change begins to occur.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend that was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor here in Springfield kept saying, well, you just got a sore throat. It went on for a year. She had thyroid cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She went out and got another opinion and was able to get it treated and is now doing very well. As we wrap things up, it is your life. It's your choice. Take the initiative. Take the step and say, you know, I'm going to live my life better.
But it's up to you.
It's up to you.
You've got to make the choice to make your life better.
WK, Leslie, Kim, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.